Thank you for standing. You may be seated. If you have an outline tonight, I don't know if we'll get through this or not. We'll do our best. Amen. In your introduction, in verses 14 and 15 of the book of Jude, God tells of a doctrine which is prevalent throughout the Old Testament. A doctrine that is prevalent throughout the Old Testament. That is the coming of Messiah. The coming of Messiah. And of course, we know Messiah is Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, amen. The Jews don't believe that now, but one day during the tribulation, they will. God will open their eyes, and they will believe. They'll understand that they crucified their Messiah. But Jesus Christ to rule, and he uses the previously unrecorded prophecy of Enoch. Okay, if you will search your Bible, and we'll talk about this in just a moment, you will not find the prophecy of Enoch recorded anywhere before the book of Jude. Okay, as we've previously studied, there are accounts like this that we must take on faith. And we give you the list plus one that was recorded in one of our previous lessons. Number one there, Jesus' statement concerning giving. If you take the time, and we don't have the time tonight, you can do it on your own time. Look up Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Paul quotes Jesus saying, "For he has said, it is more blessed to give than receive." Again, I challenge you, go through the Gospels and try and find that for me. Okay? Does it mean Jesus didn't say it? No. Amen. The Holy Spirit chose to record it in the book of Acts. Another one here, Jannes and Jambres withstanding Moses. Jannes and Jambres, J-A-N-N-E-S and J-M-B-R-E-S, Jannes and Jambres withstanding Moses, that's recorded in 2 Timothy. Happened in the Old Testament, recorded in the New Testament. Elijah's prayer in James chapter 5, 17, recorded only in the New Testament. I didn't mean it didn't happen, it just meant the Holy Spirit chose to record it in the New Testament. Here's one we didn't get before. Noah being a preacher of righteousness. Brother Sammons, you can read all of Noah's account of his life in Genesis chapter 5 and 6 and 7, 8, but you'll not find where he's called a preacher of righteousness in the Old Testament. Holy Spirit revealed that to us in the New Testament. Amen. And the last one, Lot's inner struggle in Sodom in 2 Peter as well. The fact that Lot did have an inner struggle because he was just and righteous. The Bible says he vexed himself daily with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Brother Jones, I've read Genesis chapter 19. I don't see that in there. Amen. But praise God for the revelation that God gives to us. Great quote here from John Phillips, great writer. Jude, under direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit, records incidents recorded nowhere else in the Bible. After all, the ultimate author of the Bible is the Holy Spirit. And we give you the verses there, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And He can reveal what He wants, to whom He wants, when He wants. And all God's people said, amen. Praise God. You can trust the Bible. Amen. Thank God. You can trust. I believe that. Amen. If I didn't believe that, I'd get out of the ministry and go do an honest day's work. Amen. Go earn an honest living. I believe the Bible, and I believe we can trust the Bible. And let me just say, listen, I use the King James Bible. I believe it's a preserved Word of God, and I don't make any apology for it. Amen. I believe God has chosen to preserve it. Praise God. Number one, the prophet of his return. Why don't you look back at Jude verse 14? The prophet of his return. Okay? And we've got several scriptures we'd like to look at here if we could. This first one here, it says, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints." If you want to go back just a few pages, find the book of Hebrews. And in the hall of faith in chapter number what? Oh, checking, amen. Chapter 11 is the hall of faith, amen. We find the second character listed is in verse 5. And his name is Enoch. Verse number 5, Hebrews 11, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Back to Genesis chapter 5, beginning of your Bible. Genesis chapter 5. We learn a little bit more about this prophet named Enoch, the prophet of his return. Okay? Chapter number 5, look at verse number 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Looking at your outline, there is very little recorded in the Word of God. There is very little recorded in the Word of God regarding the pre-flood prophet Enoch. Very little recorded in the Word of God regarding the pre-flood prophet Enoch. Number one, we learn right out of our text in verse 14, he is the seventh from Adam. Okay? Seventh from Adam. And we give you all seven there right underneath that on your outline. We have Adam, then of course Seth, and Enos, and Cainan, and Mahalalel, and Jared, and then Enoch. Okay? So we know that. That's a guarantee. Number two, from Genesis 5:22, we learn he is the father of Methuselah. And boy, is that a great study. We don't have time to deal with that. Just the name Methuselah, after he is born, it shall come. And we had the flood after that. I'll tell you what, it'll give you a goosebump studying that kind of stuff, that God put all that together. We know he's the father of Methuselah. Something else we know from Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, he walked with God. He walked with God. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants us to walk with him every day. I hope you spend some time in your Bible today. See, Pastor was busy, but I got on my break and I read a couple verses. I read a couple chapters. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. I understand. God wants the desires fellowship from his children. Walk with him. Talk with him. Amen. So Enoch walked with God. We learn from Hebrews 11:5 that he pleased God. He pleased God. And could we say this? When you walk with God, you please God. Amen? Why? Because all he desires is fellowship from us. Oh, he has will for our lives, and I understand, but he created us for fellowship. So he's pleased when we walk with him. From our text, we learn that he was a prophet of God. He was a prophet of God. And then number six, something we learn from Hebrews 11:5, he was translated by God without dying. One of only two characters in the Bible to not taste death. Amen? And of course we know the other is, come on Bible scholars. Boy, I heard Noah, Moses, Elijah. Elijah, amen? In the fiery chariot, amen? So we had those two, Enoch and Elijah. He was translated by God without dying, okay? So we see the prophet of his return. Number two, on the second page there, we see the certainty of his return. Going back to Jude, if you would, you see the certainty of his return. I love this verse. It says, "Behold, the Lord cometh." Guaranteed. Amen? The Lord cometh. And here we have the fact that Jesus Christ is going to return is a biblical certainty. He is going to come back and rescue his church, amen, from that great tribulation. Great quote here from William Evans. It is claimed that one out of every 30 verses in the Bible mention this doctrine. That is the second coming of Christ. To every one mention of the first coming, the second coming is mentioned 8 times. Boy, that's something, amen. And we know he came the first time and all God's people said, praise the Lord. 8 times as much they believe he's going to come the second time. 318 references are made to it in 216 chapters. Whole books, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and chapters, Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, are devoted to it. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is coming back. Thank God. We gave you a whole bunch of verses. You look those up on your own time. All dealing with the second coming of Jesus Christ. The prophet of His return. The certainty of His return. The division of His return. Look, if you would, at verses 14 and 15. It says, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints to execute judgment upon all." The second coming of Jesus Christ will take place in two phases. We'll deal with these, obviously, in our fall prophetic series on things to come. But it takes place in two phases. And we gave you a nice photo there that we took out of one of our books. The first phase is commonly known as the rapture. The rapture. This is when He returns for His saints. Okay, now for some of you, this is prophecy 101, but some of you never heard about the divisions of the second coming of Christ, okay? The rapture of the church is when Jesus comes back for His saints, amen? And what a great day that's going to be, Brother Heath, amen? When the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise first, and that sweet mother that you buried, or that father, or that brother, or that child is going to come up out of the ground when Jesus comes, and we're going to go with them and meet them in the air just a twinkle later, amen? And forever we'll be with the Lord. That's the rapture. The rapture of His second coming. You see it there on your little illustration there, the rapture of the church. And that's when we go up. Amen. Praise the Lord. We go up when He comes for His saints. The second phase is known as the return, revelation, or second advent. Okay, the second phase is known as the return, revelation, or second advent. This is when He returns with His saints. With His saints. So we go up when He comes for His saints, and we come back down when He comes with His saints. Amen. Enoch's prophecy deals with the second of these two phases. That is the second advent, the revelation, when Jesus Christ comes back with His saints. Okay? Number four, we see the saints of His return. Okay? The saints of His return. That should see, say verse 14 there, Jude 14. Because it says, "The Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints." Okay, the word saint means sanctified one or one set apart. Okay, saint. By the way, you are a saint if you are saved. I come from Catholic country. I come from New England. It's Catholic country. They have a whole different meaning than the Bible on what is a saint. Okay, you got to go through all kinds of things to become a saint. Praise God, Mr. Jordan, when I got saved, I became a saint. Amen. I got set apart by God. I was sanctified by God. The Scriptures tell us that the angels are called saints. And I give you two Scriptures there, Deuteronomy 33:2 and Acts 7:53 is a cross-reference to that verse. The angels are called saints, okay? In that the angels will be with Him when He comes. Matthew 25:31 says, "When the Lord cometh with all His holy angels," okay? They'll be with Him. Yes, absolutely. Also, believers are called saints, and they will accompany Him at His return. And I want you to write down the reference there. I left you a blank there. Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 through 14. I want you to go there with me, if you would. Just a few pages to the right from Jude is Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 through 14. I was talking to Stephen Sammons earlier this year, and he told me about his speech final. And they had to do 10 minutes of consecutive memorized Scripture, Brother Kelly. And when I was in school, we had to do it too. And I made the big mistake of choosing Revelation chapter 19, 20, and 21. You say, "Well, Pastor, why is that a mistake?" Well, almost every verse starts with the word "and." And you just can't get a groove, amen? It was hard. I'd back up and retract and think, and it was hard, amen? But I remember studying this passage, Revelation chapter 19, verse 6, it says, "And," amen, I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude and the voice of many waters and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. Now we know the church is called the Bride of Christ. Amen. One of the titles of the church. And to her was granted, who's the her? The bride, the church, the wife, amen, that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Now jump down to verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and here you have the second advent, the revelation right here. Boom, Jesus is coming back. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written, and no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Ladies and gentlemen, the only people that could possibly be referring to would be believers. Because we are the bride of Christ. We are the saints that are coming back with Him, that have been clothed in fine linen according to verse number 8. Amen. So we will accompany Him with His return. I have not ridden a horse, Brother Horsch, in a lot of years. Brother Horsch, we were talking about that before the service, said, I'm going to like it that time. Amen. I'm going to like it that they're not going to smell, amen. They're not going to buck me off the horse, amen. I'm going to ride on that and be just fine, amen. Well, we're coming back with Him, the saints of His return. Number 5, the purpose of His return. The purpose of His return. You can stay there in Revelation if you would. Verse number 14 or 15. Where is it? No, I'm sorry. In verse 11. Verse number 11, Revelation 19, and I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Jude tells us in verse 15 that he comes back to execute judgment. The scriptures tell us that the main purpose, on your outline, the scriptures tell us that the main purpose of his return, discussed in our text in Jude, is the judgment of the ungodly. The judgment of the ungodly. And look at the verse. We have it right there. And this verse is pretty clear. As you know, sometimes verses are difficult and you need help to understand. Boy, you don't have to be a Christian long to understand what this verse says. To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly of among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. That's four ungodlies in one verse. Jesus Christ, when He returns with His saints, is coming to execute judgment. And we have on our outline here, this will take place at the great white throne judgment in Revelation chapter 20. And let me just close with this. Christian, if you're here and you know Christ as your Savior, you will not have to stand before God at the great white throne judgment. Because everyone that stands before God at the great white throne judgment is lost. You will have to stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ. After the rapture of the church, talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Romans chapter 14. Well, we will give an account to God on what we did with what He told us and what our motives were. But praise God, you'll not be judged for one sin. Because if you had to be judged for one sin, Brother Hauser, the Bible says you'd have to go to hell. Because the wages of sin is death. But praise God, when Jesus died and He saved you, He cleansed you from all your sins. Oh, how we ought to thank God for that tonight. He cleansed us from our sins. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we love You. Thank You for all that You give to us. Thank You for Your blessings upon us. Lord, thank You that You did forgive us. Lord, help us to consider this doctrine of the second coming of Christ. Help us to know that You could come back at any moment. And help us to be found faithful when You do. 175 in your hymnals will be our hymn of invitation tonight. Perhaps you'd like to come, spend some time at the altar. As I've said, I don't believe that these messages on Jude necessarily are altar call messages, but whenever the Word of God is preached, we like to give people an opportunity to respond. 175, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. If you're physically able, would you stand to your feet, sing page 175. If you'd like to come, please feel free to come to the altar. 175. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all their guilty stain. Lose all their guilty stain. Lose all their guilty stain. And sinners blood beneath. Lose all. I'll tell you what, I love this hymn. We're going to sing another verse. I love this hymn. I want to sing that third verse as the last. Dear dying Lamb, Thy precious blood shall never lose its power. Hey, you know what? Brother Jack Miller, the reason you'll never have to stand before God for your sins is that precious blood never loses its power. It's flowing just today as the day that Christ died for us. It's in heaven. Praise God. For the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's sing it out. Verse number 3.
Dear dying Lamb, Thy precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more.
All God's people said, amen. Let's remember to be praying for Alma Newbill. Amen. Please remember her in your prayers and the family in this difficult time. And hey, let's get some tracts and sow a little seed. Amen. Sow a little seed like we talked about on Sunday. Just be in the seed sowing business and be praying for the services of this weekend. Amen. Brother Mark Epperly came to church on your anniversary. Amen. Would you close us in a word of prayer tonight?